You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Over the course of an 82-game NBA regular season, teams will typically lose a game or two that they probably should win and win a game or two that they probably should lose. Well, that's what's happened over these last two games for the Sacramento Kings, defeating the Denver Nuggets at home in overtime after trailing by 17 points, a game they probably should have lost. And then last night, Monday night, inside the Golden 1 Center, losing to a Chicago Bulls team that they definitely, not probably, definitely should have beaten. They got off to a great start, fell into a big hole, tried to make another triumphant comeback, but it would not come to pass. The Kings are now 8-11 on the season and now go back on the road for the next four games. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Locked On Kings. This is the podcast hub for you. My name is Matt George. I have the absolute privilege of being your host here on Locked On Kings. I'm a Sacramento sports radio host and producer who's covered the Sacramento Kings for the last 5 years. But before that, I was like you, a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings since age six. I grew up in the glory years here in Sacramento. Spoiled child, getting to watch Jason Williams, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, Vlade Divac, the dream team in Sacramento that we all know should have won a championship. Unfortunately, they were not able to, but that was my basketball childhood. Of course, it's been a long time since we've been able to enjoy those feelings of playoffs and success and winning here in Sacramento, over 13 years now. And this, of course, was supposed to be the season, or supposedly was going to be the season, where everything could turn around. Now, it still can. The Kings, as of right now, of course, it's early December, so playoff seedings don't matter too much, but the Kings, as of right now, are in the conversation for the eighth seed in the Western Conference, very similar to where they were last season around this time. The difference between last season and this season, though, is that there were more expectations on the Kings this year, and they're also dealing with significant injuries to De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. I'm going to be giving you updates on those two, as well as an injury update on Bogdan Bogdanovic during this podcast. Of course, we're going to recap this Kings loss to the Bulls, 113-106 last night, here in just a second. Also, want to discuss Trevor Ariza's playing time, and then the Kings. Next four games on the road, got to find a way to get two out of the four and go 500 on this road trip if they can. This trip includes the very difficult Texas Triangle. So we'll talk about that all on today's episode of Locked On Kings. But let's start with this Bulls game. And the Kings have been cursed with something even sometimes during the glory days, but especially over these last 13 years. And that's the curse of playing to the level of your competition. The Kings typically get up and get prepared and get ready and play hard against some of the best teams in the league. Look at how they played against the Golden State Warriors last season. Look at how they've continued to play against the Los Angeles Lakers, not just this year, but in years past, even when Kobe Bryant was still around. The Kings always get up for big games. They always played LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers hard, or the LeBron James and the Miami Heat hard when they would come to town or when they would play them on the road. You play up to the level of competition, which is good, but also you play down to the level of competition, which is bad. If the Kings were able to consistently play at their level, they would win a game or two against the teams better than them, but they would win most, if not all, of the games against the teams worse than them. And we've seen a bad loss at home to the Charlotte Hornets, which was their fifth straight loss to open up the season. This loss to the Chicago Bulls is a little bit comparable to that. Coming off of the highs of a fantastic win against the Denver Nuggets, where you came back, gritted out a win against the number one defensive team in overtime at home. Coming off of that high, you start really strong against Chicago, but then you fall down by 19 points thanks to a dreadful second quarter. It was a rough night, a long night for the Kings. They did all they could to battle back, but it just wasn't enough, as the Kings do lose to the Chicago Bulls 113 to 106. One of the things Luke Walton has preached a lot this season, and he brought it up immediately without even being asked at the postgame press conference last night, was this Kings team playing a full 48 minutes. And that has been the next level of the growth for this franchise and for this roster. If you remember when the season started, Luke Walton was talking about we're working hard on the defensive end. We're trying to turn defense into offense, and success will come from that. It will start paying off. And we've been seeing that over the past month. Really, the month of November was where we started to see things click for the Kings. Now, the next step for them, next issue that you can see Walton really trying to hammer home to this organization, to this team, and the players themselves recognize it as well, is now taking that effort and establishing it for a full game, or as close to a full game as you can, playing for a full 48 minutes. Because even in Kings' impressive wins, like the Denver Nuggets game, like the win over the Boston Celtics, like the close loss to the Los Angeles Lakers, they've had stints or stretches where they just take their foot off the pedal or they slow down a little bit. Perfect example is when the Kings were blowing out the Phoenix Suns at home a couple of weeks ago, and they took their foot off the gas and allowed Phoenix to come and make a game of it towards the end. Now, the Kings did win the game, but it should not have been as close as it was. The Kings did not play a full 48-minute game, giving the Suns a chance. Now, you could also say that the Bulls didn't play a full 48-minute game last night because they didn't. They allowed the Kings to get off to a good start and then allowed the Kings to come back and try and steal a win towards the end. But the Bulls are not as good of a, let's just be honest, the Bulls are not as good of a team as the Sacramento Kings. Now, the Bulls have talent. I like Zach LaVine. Lauri Markkanen had a good night, 4 of 8 from three-point range last night. You knew he wasn't going to shoot 28% for three forever, so he was great. The Bulls have good young pieces, and they're on their way. I also like Wendell Carter. But they're not as good and not as established as the Sacramento Kings, and certainly did not have the advantage or were not favored in Sacramento against a Kings squad coming off of the win against the Nuggets. But really, wins in defense has masked Kings' poor shooting that has been consistent throughout this season, but even during the month of November. Now, the Kings had a handful of games where they shot lights out, and it was good to see the offense clicking, and that they rode that to victory. But as a whole, Kings have not been shooting well consistently throughout this season from day one. Remember last year, the Kings were towards the top of the league in three-point shooting percentage. It's actually been that way for the last two seasons, not this year. The Kings are 28th. In points per game. They are only scoring 104.3 points per game. That's just above the New York Knicks and the Orlando Magic. Those are the only two teams below them. The Kings are 21st in field goal percentage. They're at 44%, which isn't horrible, but the rest of the league is in the high 40s and the 50s. The Kings are shooting just 35% from three-point range. That's good for 18th, so it's not horrific. You're in the middle of the pack, but the Kings were in the low 40s, low to mid-40s last year, which had them in the top 10 and even top 5 and top 3 at times over these last couple of seasons. So they're desperately needing to get that up. And, of course, we know the free throw issues that they have. They're 29th in free throw attempts per game. There's only one team, and that's the Indiana Pacers, that are worse than the Kings at getting to the foul line and getting to the charity stripe. Now, Luke Walton talked about that last night because the Kings got off to an excellent start attacking the basket, had 16 points in the paint in the first quarter, and then just two in the second quarter. And the second quarter was really where this game got out of hand. But Walton, he wasn't trying to make excuses. He says this team is still remaining aggressive and trying to get to the rim and trying to attack the basket. But their two best players, one in particular, at getting to the rim and drawing the fouls, De'Aaron Fox, but Marvin Bagley as well, they're both out. They're both not playing right now. And Walton has mentioned that the Kings were going to lean heavily and do lean heavily on the two of them to draw fouls and to get to the charity stripe. Now, we know that Buddy Hield can get to the line and can get to the rim at times as well, but he's not nearly as good of a ball handler as De'Aaron Fox, and we've seen him struggle, really, and get his pocket picked a couple of times trying to make an aggressive move to the basket over this stretch that he has been without De'Aaron on the floor. But the second quarter is what killed the Kings in this game. The Bulls outscored the Kings 33-21. They did a lot of what the Boston Celtics did in the second quarter in the Kings' rematch with the Celtics in Boston. Forced a lot of turnovers, got out in fast break. The Bulls would score 22 points off of 18 Sacramento turnovers, which was the difference in this game. But speaking of Buddy Hield, I wanted to talk about him a little bit more. He had 26 points on 9 of 21 shooting last night, went 3 of 13 from three-point range. Another tough game for him. Now, he did have that historic game against the Boston Celtics in Boston, and then also played very well against the Celtics in Sacramento. The Kings aren't close in either of those games without Buddy Hield, so I'm not trying to put the guy down, but he has been struggling without De'Aaron Fox, and we're seeing how much he relies on De'Aaron Fox's game and how much those two guys complement each other. Because now with Fox not playing and Fox off the floor, not only does Buddy have the ball in his hands and is he forced to create a lot more than what he's used to, which is definitely not the best part of his game on the offensive end. There's so much attention on him now from defenses. He's having a tough time getting open and getting good looks. He's shooting 41% from the field and 33% from three-point range, which he's 40 of 118 from three in the 10 games that he's played this season without De'Aaron Fox. The Kings offensively rely heavily on both Fox and Buddy Hield, and with Fox not out and not contributing at all, and Buddy Hield shooting just 33% from three-point range, it's no wonder the Kings are struggling to score more than 104 points per contest. Speaking of struggling, have to talk about Dwayne Dedmon a little bit because he's been drawing frustration from Kings fans, Kings media members, and I know a lot of people are judging Dedmon based off of his price tag, the fact that the Kings paid him $13 million a year and expected him to come in, start at the center position, space the floor, rebound, block shots. And I recognize that he has not had the best of seasons whatsoever. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him by any means. I'm just going to share with you my approach to covering Dwayne Dedmon and casting judgment on Dwayne Dedmon. He hasn't been good. He's been disappointing, to say the least. Rashawn Holmes has been much better than him at the center position, hence the reason why Rashawn Holmes is starting over him now. And since Rashawn Holmes has become a consistent starter, the Kings have had more success than struggle. So that's not a coincidence by any means. I'm not putting all of the struggles or all of the issues of the Kings on Dedmon's shoulders either. That's unfair, but I don't see too many fans and too many media members doing that. Before I cast significant judgment on Dwayne Dedmon, I'm waiting to see what the Kings do and how Dedmon performs when Marvin Bagley returns from injury, because I am a firm believer and from my understanding, Dedmon and Bagley were supposed to share the floor together consistently, and I think the Kings had high hopes and high expectations for how the two of them would fit together. Dwayne Dedmon was supposed to be the guy that stood in the corner or stood on the wing, spaced the floor, and shot threes. Now, his three-point shooting has not been good this season. He had 2.7 rebounds, 3 turnovers in 11 minutes last night. By the way, he's shooting in the low 30s from three-point percentage right now. But his job was supposed to be to space the floor. His job was supposed to be just to grab rebounds and knock down open shots when he could get them. And Marvin Bagley's job was supposed to be the high post, the low post, the pick and roll. As soon as Bagley went down with the injury, that role changed literally after one game, not even one game, but basically one game for Dwayne Dedmon, and he hasn't looked comfortable really since. Now, he's shown flashes of being the guy that the Kings want him to be off of the bench, but not nearly as good as they want him to be for what they are paying him. So again, I'm waiting to see what the Kings do when Marvin Bagley comes back. Do they go back to Marvin Bagley starting at the four and Dedmon starting at the five? Do they play the two of them together consistently off the bench at least to start? How does he fit alongside Marvin Bagley? That's what I want to see before I declare the Dedmon signing a failure or a success. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Yesterday, late morning, early afternoon, the Sacramento Kings released an injury update report on both De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley and their current status. I'm going to be sharing that for you, plus adding a little more context and a little more information from what I was able to gather and from what I heard at the arena last night. Also, I have to speak briefly about the injury issues that Bogdan Bogdanovic is playing through. But let's start with De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, from my observation, is moving very, very well and is not wearing the boot anymore. He was wearing the boot and was on crutches for about a week, maybe a little over a week after the injury took place. And right now he is completely off the boot. He's moving, able to put weight on the ankle, and is also able to get shots up. He said in the locker room before the game, now this was all off the record type thing, no cameras were on, but he was just chatting with some of the media members, and he said that he was feeling good. He was feeling fine. Like I said, he's able to get shots up. You've seen that video from him in the practice facility, but he's still healing from the sprain and the subsequent bone bruising from the injury. While he is feeling well, he is still, according to the Kings, 2 to 3 weeks away from being re-evaluated. So that doesn't mean he's returning in 2 to 3 weeks. He's going to be re-evaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, which puts his return likely around New Year's at the earliest. I said when the injury happened that I wouldn't expect him back until January, until 2020, but we'll have to wait and see. But that is the update on De'Aaron Fox. Again, he says he's moving well. He says he's feeling good, not dealing with too much pain. He's rehabbing hard, trying to get back as best as he can. And the best news is that I can share with you is that he is not in the boot anymore, and he is moving fine, able to put weight on that ankle, and is healing well as of right now. Marvin Bagley has been a little bit more of a question mark. When he initially broke his thumb in the Phoenix game, we heard he was going to be around 2 to 4 weeks until he was reevaluated. Well, now we are approaching week 6, and Marvin Bagley will be reevaluated again for the third time at the end of this week. So right before we go to week 6 since the injury, Marvin Bagley will be reevaluated for the third time again, and hopefully we will be able to get a more definitive idea of when he was going to be returning. We've heard that he's relatively close, and the good news is, and I've told you this before, he's been staying in shape. He's still working out. The injury is to his off or his non-shooting hand, his right hand. He shoots with his left and plays with his left predominantly. So he has been working, getting shots up, staying in shape, running. You can see him getting his pregame workouts before home games and road games, whatever arena he's in, has been working hard in the practice facility as well. So Marvin Bagley is still working and is staying in shape, which makes me optimistic that when he does return, there won't be a massive amount of rust for him to shake off, and hopefully he will be in NBA shape and ready for the big minutes that not only does he deserve, but that the Kings need him to perform in and excel in. Finally, Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's been playing for these past couple of games, but you're seeing consistently on the injury report, Bogey has been listed as probable. That's because he's still dealing with that nagging hamstring injury that he suffered. I can't remember who the opponent was, but it was towards the end of a home game. Was it the Boston game? It might have been the Boston game. Towards the end of the Boston game, he pulled up with, I believe it's his left hamstring was bothering him. And he's been playing through what we've heard is a not a significant amount of pain, but it's soreness and it's tightness. And he's a competitor. Bogey is going to do everything in his power to play every single game, no matter what. So he's been trying to work and trying to play through it. But the Kings training staff and Luke Walton have said that they're only playing him in 6-minute stretches. Now, we learned that after the Kings win over the Denver Nuggets, and it's been consistent over these past couple of weeks. You'll notice that Bogey, when he's in, he'll play no more than 6 straight minutes before Walton will take him out so he doesn't risk re-aggravating that injury or hurting himself anymore. But Walton last night said that he could tell, and he said that Bogey was not moving as well as he normally does, and not moving as well as the Kings would like him to move, and Walton was a little bit concerned. Hence the reason why he only played him 22 minutes. In those 22 minutes, Bogey went or scored 11 points, went 4 of 9 from the field, and also had 3 assists. So that's your Kings mini injury update there. Those three guys battling their bumps and bruises, trying to get back as soon as they can, and hopefully Bogey can get healed and be able to play at 100% here shortly, because the Kings need his scoring and need his production. He was one of the major reasons why they got off to such a good start in the month of November. Another guy who's been dealing with injury issues but is fine and is playing now is Trevor Ariza. And Trevor Ariza, like Dwayne Dedmon, has also drawn the frustration and ire of Kings fans here early on. Quite frankly, he's just not looked good. He's been struggling, especially on the offensive end of the floor, doesn't look like he knows where exactly to go, what his fit is with this offense. And to be fair to him, he was not with the team during this last road trip, also because of personal reasons. Now, I have no idea what those personal reasons are. I haven't asked. They're personal to him, and that is none of my business, and I do not care. He was not with the team for personal reasons, has also been missing some games with a nagging groin injury. He's back now. That's all that matters. But after missing the last handful of games, he doesn't appear to be super comfortable knowing where he belongs on the offensive end of the floor. On top of that, the Kings starting point guard, who maybe he's worked with a lot, and De'Aaron Fox, is not playing right now, and the rotations are kind of muddied. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. I'm just saying those are legitimate hurdles that he's having to work through, and right now he's not working through them well. Offensively, he's been bad this season. Last night, just 2 points, 0 of 4 shooting from the field, had 2 turnovers in 12 minutes. This season, he's shooting 32% from the field and 34% from three-point range. What Ariza does bring that I like and I appreciate is a decent defensive presence. He's not as good of a defender as he was in his time in Houston, but he's still a decent defender, and he's a good locker room leader. And we've seen that in the videos from practices. I've seen that and heard that personally from interactions that he's had with players in the locker room. From my understanding, Trevor Ariza is a good locker room leader, a good veteran presence on this team, and also he and Luke Walton have a very solid relationship. But it's my opinion, and I know a lot of people share this opinion, that Trevor Ariza should not be playing over Justin James at this point in time. Now, Justin James was the first off the bench before Ariza, not the first off the bench for the Kings, but did get off the bench and get into the game before Ariza last night. Justin did not look super comfortable against the Bulls, was not the best matchup for him, had a tough time guarding the Chicago Wings. So Justin didn't play too many minutes, but even so, I have a feeling, or I have the idea, that based off of the way he's been playing as of late, he would have had more of a contribution on the offensive end than what Trevor Ariza gave the Kings. So it's my opinion that Justin James has earned Trevor Ariza's minutes as of right now. But we know Luke Walton trusts Ariza as a veteran leader on this squad, wants to play him alongside Harrison Barnes for the defense when he can at times. So we'll have to see if that carries into the remainder of this season and if Ariza can work himself out of his offensive slump. Finally, next four games for the Kings are on the road. It begins with the Kings at the Portland Trail Blazers on Wednesday. The Kings and Blazers have already played twice this season, both those games in Sacramento. Of course, the Blazers won the first. The Kings won the second. That was the first game without De'Aaron Fox when the Kings beat Portland here inside the Golden 1 Center. So now the rubber match between these two. Who will get the leg up in Portland? A very tough place to play for road teams. Usually a good atmosphere out there. Of course, Damian Lillard, ever dangerous. The Trailblazers now have the Western Conference Player of the Week in Carmelo Anthony, and if you can't hear by my voice, I'm rolling my eyes right now because that award is basically useless and made even more useless by the fact that Carmelo Anthony got it based off of popularity and not what he actually contributed, because there were players on the Kings and players on a bunch of teams that provided more and shot better and did more in this last week than Carmelo Anthony did. But hey, congratulations, Melo. Good to see you back, I guess. I'm happy that that's the only award that you can really win right now at this stage in your career. But the Blazers have been a pretty significant disappointment, and the Kings definitely have an opportunity to win that game. They need to find a way to win two out of these four. And hopefully you can start it off by getting the win in Portland before you head to Texas for the dreaded Texas Triangle. And it begins with a meeting with the San Antonio Spurs. Now, the Kings have struggled typically against the Spurs, although they swept them last season for the first time ever. The Spurs are underperforming this year, not as good, certainly, as they have been, but they're still a Greg Popovich team. They still have DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. They still have a lot of talent there in San Antonio, so it's not going to be a breeze for the Kings by any means. But out of the Texas Triangle, that's the best game for the Kings to get. So if they can win the next two here, get Portland and get San Antonio, that would make you feel better going into the final two games of the road trip, which is against the Dallas Mavericks. And we know Luka, Porzingis, and the Mavericks have been playing out of their mind right now and expect to win that game on their home floor. And then finally, basically a loss every time these two teams play for the Kings. The Kings and the Rockets end the road trip in Houston. I have very little hope for that game. The Rockets typically not only beat the Kings, they smash the Kings into oblivion. It's just a very tough matchup for Sacramento. But hey, maybe this year's team can be different from years past. We'll have to wait and see with that. But if the Kings can get two out of those four, especially if you can get that Portland game on Wednesday and then find a way to beat San Antonio and continue your streak of solid play against them, they'll be in good shape for the remainder of this road trip. And then when they do come home after this road trip ends, they have a pretty favorable schedule, meetings with the New York Knicks, amongst other struggling teams, the Golden State Warriors as well. So there are plenty of wins coming in mid to late December for the Kings if they can get through this tough road stretch. Now, I'm not predicting they're going to get all those wins because it's hard to say that after the Kings just lost at home to the Chicago Bulls, of course, last night. Anything that we talked about on today's show that you want to share your thoughts on, your opinions, ask questions, everything is fair game. Please reach out to me. You can do so on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Either just tweet at me or DM me there. My DMs are always open, even if we do not follow one another. I would love to chat with you there. Or if you're not on Twitter, not on social media, you can find me via email. You can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia. That's saclocalmedia.com. Shoot me an email there. I'd love to get into a conversation with you and answer any questions that you may have or just talk Kings basketball or NBA basketball in general with you if you are so inclined. So please take advantage of that. Also, if you haven't already, please leave a review of this podcast. Best place to do it is either on the iTunes Store or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. But wherever you listen to this podcast, if there's a place to leave a review, if you could do that, that helps us out a ton, helps us gather new listeners, bring new listeners in, and then also helps me as a podcast host and us as a podcast network grow as a whole. When we get your feedback here, what you would like us to improve upon, what you like, what you don't like. We're just trying to put together the best show and the best network for you. And like I said last week, this Locked On Podcast Network is expanding and is growing, and we're very excited about where this network can go and want to make sure we are constantly providing the best podcast sports coverage for you that you can get better than anywhere else. So help us out with that by leaving a rating and review. I certainly would appreciate it. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.